What is the law? Well, ultimately, done properly, the making of law should reflect God's moral laws. The implementation of those should be in such a way, the enforcement of them should be just. As David New talked about in the last program, justice, enacting justice is really the purpose of any authority in the home, in the classroom, in business, wherever it may be. Enact justice, meaning apply it appropriately and according to as God has done it, as intended to be. And when it is, then it points to Jesus Christ and the fact that we need him as our Savior because of the nature of the law and the nature of recognizing who we are. That's ultimately the goal, ladies and gentlemen. And when that's done, then you have a nation that looked like the United States did at one point. And when you walk away from it, you are seeing a nation looking like, unfortunately, ours is now, that's more lawless, perhaps, than law-abiding. Now, David New, I want to go to you and just give us a quick example, if something can come to your mind. If not, that's okay. But somebody in history in our nation, perhaps if you want to reach into Scripture, that's fine, but who actually understood the seriousness of making and embracing good law and recognizing its impact on a nation, our nation. Can you think of anybody?
The irony of everything when we're talking about law is that sinful man believes that when he walks away from God's law, he becomes free. He becomes liberated. That is the lie straight from hell. When you walk away from God's moral law, you do not become free, you do not become liberated, you enter into bondage. And you will fall and you will cut yourself off from the source of life, because God is the source of life. And that's one of the reasons why America is going into drugs and trying to find pleasure and happiness in all kinds of ways which are destructive to life. And so this is the irony of ironies. If you want to have less crime, less prisons, less police, honor God's law.
Mm. David,
people wonder, how do we make America right again? How do we do it right? And we already know the answer. The answer is God's law, not a theocracy, but it's God's law. And people don't. And the reason why we don't like it is we don't like the correct answer. We don't like the right answer, but that is the answer.
David New excellently said, excellent point. The violation of God's law leads to bondage. The following of God's law leads to freedom. Frankly, that's what was written on the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia,
that's
proclaiming
right.
Liberty throughout all of the land. That was based on righteous law. That was what that came from. Dave Kistler, let me go to you, and let's talk about this in this practical sense. What we've talked about in this program is hardly ever taught anywhere. And I know from talking to folk law schools, even in the nation of Ukraine, some of us went over and taught over there, these points we're talking about here, they never heard. They didn't know. They didn't know about God and law and how they went together and viewed it from an exposition, but they responded positively when they heard it. But I don't think we've heard it. I don't know where it's taught. But Dave, what is the role of the pulpit in this regard? Where should this knowledge come from, and what should be happening if we understood this? What should the pulpits and churches of America be doing in regard to this information and therefore how we live?
Well, Sam, it is imperative that the pulpits of America teach and preach God's law. The tragedy is, Sam, and I hate to say this, but far too many of the pulpits in America don't even talk about God's law. They avoid that because culture tries to avoid it. And what David New said moments ago is worth its weight in gold. The consummate example of bondage is a disregard for God's law. If you've ever ministered, and I have many, many times in a prison, you see men and women that are incarcerated because of one reason and one reason only. They bought into the lie David so eloquently stated earlier, that the casting off of law, God's law, primarily will bring me more freedom. It does not. It brings the consummate form of bondage. Incarceration in a prison is because the people that are held there violated, first and foremost, God's law, and it brought the exact opposite of what they thought it would. It didn't bring liberty. It brought bondage.
David New, I want to go back to you, because you at one point earlier in the program said, all right, what do we do when we have two laws? We have one law that says you do this so-and-so, or you can do this sin, you can engage in this, that behavior, and the other says no, you can't. How does a person respond to that? Give us the biblical principle, because we're faced with this every day, Dave. We're faced with it every day.
Well, the Bible says you can't serve two masters. You've got to choose one or the other. If the Lord be God, serve him. If thou be God, serve him. And so we've got to make a conscious decision as a nation to honor God's law. We have, according to our motto, said that we will do that because our national motto is, in God we trust. All I'm saying is, let's live up to the truth of what that motto represents.
And ladies and gentlemen, that's all you need to know. We're going to obey God or not, fear God or not. Every law has a moral pinning underneath it. It's a question of whether or not it's God's or someone else's. And as that illustration we called out earlier, think about this. Divine law sits at the top. Then there's law of nature, revealed law, law of reason, common law, law of nations, international law, and divine law at the bottom. It's sandwiched between. It's not only in harmony, ladies and gentlemen, but you could easily say, and it's appropriate to say, any law that's not sandwiched between sitting on God's law or recognizing that that came from him is illegitimate law that leads to bondage, which is exactly what David knew was talking about.